live with Mini Life.
What up, guys?
Back on the pod in the new year once again with our new friend. Well, my new friend, I guess. Sean, you apparently know this jabroni over here, Ollie.
Yeah.
Clanking and banking around here. We got a setup in the garage with his beast of a mini that I just found. I see, this is the weird part, is because I just saw you randomly the other day on Instagram, and, like, building this thing. I was like, damn, that's cool. And then Sean was like, oh, yeah, I know Ollie. I'm like, way to not get him on the podcast, hey, loser.
Hey, no, don't give me dirty like this. I've been trying to get Ollie on for ages.
What did I hire you for?
He did message me a while ago.
Thank you, Ollie.
All right.
He was doing his best, and I was refusing at first. I tend to just shut myself away in the garage and play on TikTok, and that's about it.
I was going to say, we got a TikTok sensation here. That's what kind of annoyed me, is because I was like wanting more content, but you're like trying to push me over to TikTok, and I don't have one of those things.
That's where it's at.
I thought I like clicked on it thinking I could just like, you know, watch it on without an account, and then it's like immediately like, please download TikTok. I'm like, God dang, they're trying to steal my information.
Literally. To be fair, everyone that resists it forever, like my wife, she refused to get TikTok forever, and then I started getting followers on there, and she was like, oh, I suppose I better support you.
Reluctantly.
It does. You reach so much more people. Like, I'm on there and I've gained thousands of followers in such a short time. You know, I've been on Instagram for ages and just used to post mini stuff all the time, but you get like 1,300 followers, and unless you know someone knows you on there, you don't get found as easily. But like, you obviously, well, I wouldn't expect anyone to find me in the States anyway, but even through Sean's account, like, you haven't seen it. But yeah, it's funny how TikTok works. They seem to push people a lot better.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting, and because I think you have like over 10,000 on there, which is crazy. Yeah. Are they just like car people, or just like people that enjoy your content? Like, how does that work? I have no idea.
I think they enjoy me being an idiot, and there's some car content like sprinkled in. But yeah, it started off me just doing all of the things that people go, you should have filmed that. I just start filming all of the stuff I do and realize that not many people do things the way I do them, and then realize that people find it quite funny to watch. And then when it's only the odd viral video. So you'd literally, you put a video up and then all of a sudden, like, you'd get like 100 views here and 100 views there. And then you'd get one video that had got like 750,000. And that would get you 2,000 followers overnight.
Wow.
And they'd follow you just off that one video. And a lot of them are just car guys, to be fair. You can like literally look at the data of everyone, like they say, stealing your data. You can work out where they are and what they're watching it for. And it's literally just like blokes in between 20 and 40 is the age group I've got of like blokes who just want to look at cars and people doing stupid stuff.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like trying to find people for this podcast. Obviously, one of my main go-tos is Instagram, because that's where I see a lot of them, see the car builds and things like that. But like you just mentioned, the demographics is like, all right, if I want to find the older guys, they're not on Instagram. They're probably in the Facebook like groups bitching about something. And they're not on TikTok. So it's like, where do I want to go to find these people? And then if you want to find the real old ones, you got to like send out a Telegram or something. But those are the good stories, let me tell you.
No, I must admit, there is a lot of people. I have about 30 or 40 old men that watch my lives religiously. Like, if I'm on live working on this, I'll just put live where you are up now and just carry on. And they'll be on there every single time. And they remember what I was doing last. They ask how I am. They tell me about what cars they've had over the years. And, oh, I had this in the 80s and I had this in the 70s and this, that, and the other. and you can talk to them for ages just on live, which is great. Apart from the fact they're just comment after comment, so it's quite difficult to actually follow a conversation. But
yeah,
they're still on there, which I think is
an opportunity, Mike.
Sean and I have talked about it a little bit, but doing some sort of kind of garage hangout or like virtual car meet or whatever, because I've done something similar and it is kind of fun. I mean, we're all over the world, right? You guys are close by, but you know, most of the people I talk to are, I'm not very close to, maybe within an hour at the closest, but you know, so it would be fun to, you know, I have never really wrenched in a garage with people because it, you know, I'm just not in proximity with them, but I think that would be cool. And I've joined live streams like on Instagram, not TikTok, but Instagram, like that, because it's fun.
Yeah. And I didn't think, because to be fair, there isn't that many people that do it. And I mean, even TikTok tells me when I go on the statistics on it, and it's like, I, out of the people that create content like mine, like car related content, 98% of them don't do lives. So they don't come on. Yeah. So you never see it on lives. There's always people gaming and things like that. You never see things like engineering or welding or bodywork or anything like that on there. And I think that's why a lot of people like watching, because they literally just see it and they're not used to finding it. So it's...
Don't give away all your secrets, man.
Well, honestly, I don't think most people want to do it because they don't want people to see your mistakes or the quirkiness or like that you're actually just out there learning as you go. Like it didn't go very well because my internet wasn't very good, but I was pulling my engine and I was jacking shit up all the time. And like, what does it matter? I was like, I don't know, but I think people don't want that.
But once you get over the nervousness of making a mistake in front of people and find yourself a bit more, find yourself funny, it's not too bad. I like the amount of times I was working on the, I just built a motorbike engine go-kart thing out here. And when I was doing it, I was welding up the frame on the go-kart. My goggles were the other side of the garage. And a spark from the weld landed on the goggles, caught the goggles on fire. And everyone was going mental on live saying, "The goggles are on fire, the goggles are on fire." And I was merrily welding away, lifted my hat up, looked at the screen, it was all going mad. I was like, "Jesus Christ," turned around, and I had to run across the garage to put the fire out. And everyone found it hilarious. And they were like, "Oh, I've done that so many times," and everything like that. But things like that wouldn't make it on Instagram because they'd be so worried about being judged about what they've done wrong.
100%, and that's the like literally all the time is someone's like, "Oh damn, this happened." I'm like, "Nah, everyone's done that, you know." Like, it's just
they don't want to admit it on Instagram. Though it's like, no. Once you put it on Instagram, it's real.
Exactly. It's actually a great idea. You know, the live is, you know, obviously it would get like old maybe if you're just making posts about your mistakes, because that's a little weird, I guess. But
exactly.
The live, that's fun. I like that. Yeah. I love that idea. That's super cool.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. It was a great intro. I think it kicks this off perfectly to kind of start talking about your, is it a Clubman Estate?
It is, yeah.
That was you?
Yeah, 1972 Clubman Estate.
Clubman Estate. You guys, if you guys are watching, first of all, let's just plug it. What is it? TikTok is Ollie Soul 68.
That's it.
And then on Instagram, _soul_668.
That's it.
So if you guys want to follow along as you're listening, check that out. Go follow, like, watch his reels and whatever they're called nowadays. But he's building this awesome Clubman Estate. You're doing the fabrication yourself, this little bit of a wide body flare metal body kit type of thing, and it looks super cool. So what, first of all, kind of made you do this with a mini? Have you been a mini guy? Have you had this for a long time? Kind of tell us about that, and then we'll get into how you started this wide body adventure.
So mini started for me when I was 10, when I was a kid with my dad. My dad used to race minis on dirt when he was a kid.
Cool.
And it always had minis around, and we've had minis around the house and the garden, parked in hedges for years. When I was about 10 or 11, he said, do you want to come and look at mini racing? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to go and have a look. So we went and had a look, and we went to grass track racing, which is basically like jalopy mini racing off-road. He had got a mini in the garage, exactly the same model as Sean's.
No way.
And it was in gold.
Oh, no.
It was parked in the garage, which is that back section over there. For my childhood, and he bought it for my sister's first car, and the rats had eaten through the wiring and everything like that, and he was like, I reckon we could turn that into a race car. And so got permission from mum and started building the race car, and we built the race car for when I was 12, and I turned 12 on the Saturday and I raced on the Sunday. I raced minis until I was 17, and then got out of minis and went into different racing formulas. Had minis the whole way through, and raced them all over the country. Did pretty well in it, and wanted something a bit quicker, so moved out of that and got into different classes. But yeah, it's that's where it started for minis, and then we've just had minis floating around for everything, for other reasons. If we've got, I'm a gas man by trade, so I go to customers' houses. So every time we see a mini in about someone's garden, we always offer some money for it. We found my dad's got one of these exactly the same, but his is a lot more original, put it that way. It's been restored, and his has got, he's just had his repainted, repanelled, and his is absolutely mint, and he's putting all the wiring in and the engine in at the minute. So, he sort of looks at mine and he's a bit scared of it, to be fair. He won't go in it.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, all right. So this is kind of starting to make a little more sense. You've obviously been around minis for a long time.
Yeah.
So what's the fun of having another perfectly stock, bone stock mini that you've had since you were 10, you know, like?
Well, I like standard things, but
yeah.
I always want to keep too nice. And a lot of people have put so much time into their pride and joy, and then they'll take it to a few shows and they won't take it out if it rain in or anything like that. And that's fair enough for like, my dad's mini is going to be like just a fine weather car. You don't take it anywhere near any salted roads or anything like that. Whereas this is just, I mean, I didn't pay a lot of money for it originally. I swapped this for a Mazda MX-5.
It's a good trade.
Yeah, it was a good trade. I literally had a Mazda that had done a head gasket, and I put it on a mini page on Facebook and said, Don't suppose anyone wants to swap a mini for this, thinking, no, I want to do that. And a guy messaged me from Gloucester and was like, I'll do that. And I was like, you're joking. He sent me pictures of it. And it was horrendous. Like, when I first got it, it was completely rotten. But it was when the MOT exempt thing came into the UK. And it was one of the first ones registered on the MOT and tax exempt. And that's what really sold it, because it was completely rotten and threadbare, but it was road legal. So I stuck the Mazda on the trailer and went down to Gloucester and swapped it straight away.
No questions asked.
Yeah, literally. I turned up and the guy was like, he'd stuck, there was a Union Jack across the back doors that was like a sticker, and it was over like many, many layers of rust, and you could actually pull the sticker off and it would pull the door away with it. He was like, oh, the doors are a little bit bad, he said, but I can give you a pair of doors with it. I was like, mint, because they're a lot of money. And the window seals are a bit leaky, so the door pockets have rotted out. And I was like, literally,
oh,
as
Jesus.
Long as it runs and moves, just, I'm having it.
Just a little bit wonky.
Literally. You could see it. You like, I got a friend of mine to drive it off the trailer and turn it round, and he drove it for like 30 yards down the road, and it was just crabbing, going completely sideways down the road. I was like, might need to get to that, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Wow. And that's a good trade, though. Like, it's similar to kind of how I got mine. I just had a 250 Honda motorcycle that I had gotten off of Craigslist. And I just messaged the guy. I was like, hey, you want to trade for this bike? And he was like, oh, yeah, sure. I like those. And I was like, really?
Was like,
you never know.
You can't be scared of asking, can you? You've just got literally just...
Yeah.
If you think something, just ask and just be don't be afraid to be knocked back.
That's it. But I'm a full supporter. If you don't ask, you don't get.
Exactly. Like, nobody does that. Everyone's like, oh, he'll never go for that. He'll never ask. Why not? Just all you can say is no.
Shoot your shot. Go for it.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's awesome. So how long ago was this?
I've had this, I think it's coming up bang on 5 years.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it's not had this that long, but when I got it, it was the original plan was to leave it as it was. But because I'm stupidly impatient, and I can't stand having any project off the road. So I work at a body shop as well as being a gas man. So I weld and panel beat for a friend of mine at a body shop, and I had the idea that all the rear end was completely rotten behind the rear arches and everything like that. And it was to the point where if the old Bill pulled you over, you'd have a pretty hard time convincing him it was road legal or safe. And so I said, right, I need to fill in some holes. I need to weld some holes up. I said, but I don't want to just fill them up with filler. So body shop mate of mine said, why don't you just clear coat it, and then it will protect it from rusting, and do each panel at a time. So like, you could come over at a weekend, we could do the passenger quarter panel, grind it all off, repair your panels, and we'll clear coat it, and we'll put a lot of hardener in it, and then you can drive it home. So I would literally did that, and per panel over a few weekends, I literally went round the car, ground it off, repaired it, clear coated it, drove it home, and then drove it in between the weeks in between. And the more I did it, the more I liked the look of it. And it then morphed into this.
And, just kind of escalated.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can I be completely honest at this point in time, Ollie?
Yeah.
Following you in the sunlight is an absolute nightmare. Any bit of glare from the sun, and it's just blinding.
And someone
good thing it's not sunny there.
Oh.
Well, I don't know about that. It's sun, but just at a bad angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or daylight. Oh, man. We're not used to your sort of sun.
Yeah, daylight. Yeah, I was going to say.
That's it. We're all vampires here.
Exactly.
Speaking of this kind of UK versus US here is, I think for me personally, I'm just going to be honest. I'm just going to assume, does gas man mean a welder?
No. Gas man means...
What's a gas man?
Heating engineer, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because you were saying gas man, and then I'm a panel beater, and I was like, wait, isn't that... So I was getting... Okay.
Yeah, so gas man to me, obviously... people call me a plumber, but I don't do plumbing. I don't do like bathrooms and things like that. So I fit boilers and
heating and air stuff.
That's it, sort of thing. Well, yeah. If you would, I don't know if you know. I don't know what you'd be called in the States, to be fair. But basically,
boiler man, wouldn't it?
Say again.
Like that.
It would be like a boiler man out in the States.
Yeah, I would have thought so. Yeah, but they don't really have boilers over there, do you? Because you're all air conditioning and things like that, haven't you?
Like an HVAC guy.
Yeah, I suppose HVAC is pretty close. I mean, I'm a little bit more qualified than HVAC.
Ah, see?
Ollie's
just
throwing shade on the pod. What's
I'm clarifying. Listen, the audience needs to know.
Fair, I'm an overqualified plumber. Leave it that way. That's basically it. I'm a plumber that knows how to do boilers.
Oh, that's funny.
Welding and everything like that, when it came from racing, to be fair, just constantly having to repair race car, like if I rolled it or replacing panels or crashed it, then and every year I'd have to repanel the race car, so I had to learn. And it just became a hobby that I seemed to be really all right at it. When it comes to bodywork and everything like that, it's all I've done. So a lot of people usually end up welding big stuff like cages and everything like that, and then they get to bodywork and they hate doing it because it's so thin. Whereas that's all I've ever really done. So and especially with the when I work at the body shop, it's all thin, rusty British cars. So
yeah, it's a lot more technical. Before we get into kind of some of the racing stuff, because I have some questions about that, tell us a little bit about the car. You told us how you got it. What's your vision for the, obviously you started doing the panel by panel. When did you come up with the idea of doing these metal arches that you're welding on with like the lip? And for those that aren't watching, it's got like almost like a JDM style front lip, but it's all metal from what I can tell. And it goes into the arches and it looks really, really nice.
Thank you. It was basically,
He's really going to upset everyone now. Really upset everyone.
I'll take those
original cosmic rally arches.
Let me know if you want to sell those.
Exactly. So I had the rally arches, and I bought them for ridiculously cheap. Basically, the fitment was never quite right. I liked how wide it sat because it's on 10x6 JBW. Wheels, and I've got 32 mil rally spacers behind it, so it's pretty wide. And the cosmic ones were okay; they fit just, and they literally covered just the outside line of tread. But I had no lock everywhere I went; it scrubbed, and it was all right, but it was a bit, not embarrassing, but it'd chew the tires to bits, and then you'd end up having nasty looking tires and everything like that. Drove me mad. And this is the sort of stuff that I do at the body shop, like making arches and making panels, but I'm always doing it for someone else's car. Mm-hmm. And I sort of never really have time to get the Mini, and never have the space to get the Mini in here because the race car's always in there. So we extended the garage, and that's why I managed to get the Mini in here. And I said, right, this is the first time I want to actually make arches that fit and look wide and are metal. Because on a Mini, apart from these, you can't find any metal arches. They don't seem to exist. So they either break whenever you have it too low, or you're cornering or anything like that. You either wear through them, or they get brittle and they crack. And so, yeah, I wanted to make something like, I mean, I've made that, so it's probably stronger than any bit on the Mini.
did you use the cosmic ones as a stencil then?
Not really, to be fair. I used, I knew how I wanted them, how wide I wanted them to sit. And I used you probably can't see on the video, but the body kit's made of like a steel bead, which is like I can't find it. But anyway, there's a mild steel bead that runs around the whole body kit. So I can it literally just map out where I want the arch to sit, with turning circle and everything like that. And then basically just fill in the gap with sheet steel. And then try and make it look right from side to side, which is the difficult bit, because although Mini arches and everything like that look straight, they're not. The body line curves and then kicks back in, so you have to sort of, to make the kit, I had to tape the gap up with masking tape so it was an exact copy, and then literally take the masking tape off, cut it off, lay on a sheet steel, and then cut out around it so it fits exactly. Otherwise you end up trying to force something like a plastic arch to fit a car. It doesn't they end up breaking under strain and everything like that. Whereas with this, even if I rub, I mean, it doesn't rub yet, but I haven't had a full load of people in there and stuff like that. And I haven't driven it in anger yet. But even if it does rub, the worst it's going to do is I'm going to get a bit of rubber on the inside of the arch. It's not going to do any damage, and it's always going to hit a smooth section. Whereas with the cosmic arches, it'd catch the edge. You'd get bits of rubber chucked past, spit past the window.
Yeah, I saw the state of your tyres.
Exactly. But yeah, you have to have sound deadening headphones on in there anyway, because of the noise. And then listening to tyre squeal is not the nicest sound. I'd rather listen to the Weber.
That's it. Oh, yeah, really. Speaking of Weber, Mike, have you seen how Ollie's got his Weber set up in this? It's incredible. It's so cool.
I was just scrolling past it, but I didn't want to click on it and just blast my ears out. It was like...
I was going to say, you can see it on the... I think there's videos on Instagram of me doing it. But yeah, it's... So the regional, everyone usually puts like a what they call like a Weber box in the bulkhead, yeah, and cut the bulkhead out. But I thought it looked a little bit too pretty not to look at it. So I just put a bit of Perspex on the inside, so you can see the Weber for all its glory.
Yeah, because you have like a long Bagsport manifold, huh?
That's it, yeah. Because he made that. I sent him a message and said, like, you can buy aluminium ones and you can buy the Maniflow ones, but they're all about 5 or 6 inches, I think you can get them at, and that one 10 inches long. So I said, I really want just torque and I want grunt. And from racing background on anything with a carb, if you increase the induction, obviously you make a lot more torque. So I wanted as much torque as possible. So he sort of okayed it about 4 or 5 times backwards and forward on Instagram. He's like, are you sure you want, because this is not going to fit a normal mini. I was like, it's okay.
It's not a normal mini.
You make the manifold, I'll make the car fit the manifold.
So it goes through the bulkhead, like the little cutout there, and
yeah,
then you
goes
made like
the
a
bulkhead, and it stops, you know, like the front dash bar of a mini.
Yeah,
it stops about an inch and a half, 2 inches short of that.
Wow. Yeah, so I haven't seen that. I saw it, like, I can kind of see like a picture of it, but it doesn't do it justice yet. That's super cool.
It's quite funny when you drive it at night and it's cold. If I'm leaving the body shop or leaving anywhere at night, if you drive it and it's cold and you accelerate too quickly, you get a backfire through the carb and it fills that entire purse box books with flame, which makes you jump quite a bit. But yeah, it soon dries out. You get a little bit of a spit of vapor of petrol and all of a sudden, woof, and then, yeah, you have to make sure you keep accelerating. It sucks the fuel back, it sucks the flame back in. But yeah, you're quite good with passengers if you take them at night and that makes them jump a bit.
Oh man, I love that.
You're a madman, Ollie. Yeah.
So what's the engine setup? What kind of Weber? What kind of, is it just a 1275? What is it?
45 Weber. And it was 1275 originally, obviously, when I got it. My brother-in-law's a race engine builder. So it was one of the meets, actually. Sean was probably at the meet. It was one of the hitching car meets local to us. And I was driving it there one day and it started to smoke quite heavily. And took it to brother-in-law. We stripped it down. Rings were knackered. Shells were knackered. So everything was pretty much knackered. He said the only way we're going to save this is by boring it out. So we bored it out to 1293. Had the cam reground. So it's got not a racy cam, but enough to give it a nice little chop. And a small skim on the head, ported and polished. And yeah, it's got about, I think the rolling road is about 85, 90, about 80, like 88 brake horsepower and 130 foot-pound of torque. So it's got loads and loads of torque,
wow.
Which is nice because once it hooks, you can just hear Weber.
Dang.
But yeah, so it pulls like hell, but you don't have to over rev it because it's got so much grunt. Mm-hmm. You don't have to scream the life out of it, which is nice.
Wow, interesting. That's a lot. That's a lot of torque. No, is that normal?
It's a lot of torque for a 1293.
Yeah,
but to
I
be
guess
fair,
you never really hear anyone talk about the torque numbers. It's always like, oh, it's got 70 horsepower, 90 horsepower. But
yeah,
I guess wow, that sounds like a lot.
Torque's what gets you going at the end of the day. Like what when we offer grass from racing background, obviously off road. All you want is torque. Torque's what wins races. I mean, that's what pulls you out of every corner, pulls you from every bottom of every gear. And right. So when I wanted that, that's why I wanted the huge manifold on it, because I spent years racing little 1.2 K10 micras with no power whatsoever. And the torque tubes we had on that, well, we call them torque tubes, the manifold is about 12 inches, 15 inches long off the base, and then it has a 90 degree and it's about 2 foot before the SU. So the carb is like 3 foot from the engine. So
yeah,
just to get as much torque as possible, just to make a little revy engine have as much enough grunt to pull it.
Yeah. Huh.
So I wanted to put that, obviously that theory into that, and it's worked quite well.
Hmm. Now you're making me think, my S has, well, it came with some Webers and like a giant Weber box, and I was going to put back the bulkhead. I was like, maybe I'll just leave that giant hole and just freaking manifold it in there.
Do it.
Do it all the way to the back seat, Mike.
Literally. Yeah.
I don't know what came.
just
boom. That's awesome. Front mounted engine, rear carburetor, like. It's just like straight through the back.
Straight through. You can rest your arm on it. It'll be nice and cold in the hot summer. You might freeze up a little bit in the winter.
Yeah. Listen,
that's the
it's
other
like...
problem with this is the fact it has so much, because it's got such a long manifold, the induction, it inducts so much. So in the winter, I have to completely block the front of the car off, the grill or anything, any holes into the engine bay, because... Mm. You sit on the motorway for any decent amount of time, the inlet manifold freezes, the Weber freezes, and I've had so many times where I've gone to let off for a roundabout or a junction or anything like that, and my throttle is frozen flat out.
Oh, no.
You let go let off, and you're still doing 90 heading towards the bloody roundabout, stabbing the throttle, trying to get it to warm up to unfreeze.
Oh, wow.
yeah. Crushed paper induction.
Sounds like a UK problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I doubt you have that problem over there.
Not where I live, at least. Definitely some states that might have that problem.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, how much more do you have on like the body kit stuff? Are you almost done? Kind of leaving it kind of the rough style?
Yeah, that's the thing. I didn't want it to look finished.
Yeah.
A lot of people obviously walk up and say, oh, are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? And I sort of go, no. Not quite.
I can't wait until I see you at a show and the amount of kids that are going to be walking around with cut shins because of it.
Literally. Yeah, literally. It is quite funny when I first did it, because when we first did it, I got to the wings and I ran out of time at the time I was doing the wings. And I ground down the paint all off the wings, and it was just full of holes where people had like stuffed newspaper in and filled it with filler.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
There were so many holes in the wings. And I then clear coated it, and I was going to Players Classic at Goodwood. And I went there the first weekend after I'd finished the clear coat, and people were walking up to the car and they thought it was like fake patina. And they were seeing holes, and I could just eat every little kid just sticking their finger through the wing. Like, is that a hole? I'm like,
I hope they had the tetanus shots.
That's some serious patina paint.
Like, stuck all their fingers through all the holes on the car at every show.
Wow, that's
brilliant.
Oh man, I love that.
That stayed like, and I literally, and to be fair, it was, I did it, well, I say to annoy people. When everyone used to come up to you, like, you'd get purists, obviously, the older guys in their 50s and 60s going, oh, my God, that must be unsafe, and that's ridiculous. How can you leave it so rusty? And I sort of did it for them because It drove him mad.
I love that. Listen, I am a Pierce through and through, but I also am not, because mine's clearly kind of like a rat rod looking style.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's like the American in me. I love the old school hot rod scene.
Yeah.
And to see kind of a British mini be a little bit of a hot rod with some just, you know, custom bits on it, it's so cool to me. Not everything has to be pristine painted for it to be cool.
And you don't want it. You can't enjoy it as much, in my opinion. And
yeah,
especially living in the UK, if you go and to make the body kit that I've got, make it paintable, you'd have to filler it, because there'd be like tiny little gaps in between each weld. You'd have to put some sort of seam seal around it or anything like that to try and waterproof it. And as soon as you go anywhere near any salted roads, it's going to work its way through it. It's going to bubble. It's going to look terrible in a few years' time if you actually use the car. Whereas if you leave it bare metal, the worst it's going to do is go a bit rusty. And you can just get a flat wheel off the rust and clear coat it again, and you're back to where you were.
There you go.
Rather than spending thousands of pounds on a paint job for you to have to redo it again in a few years.
and a few eyesights blinded as well.
Exactly. That's just a bonus.
Oh, yeah, man.
I was talking to the guy just before I came on here, actually. I'm going to get it clear coated Tuesday or Wednesday this week in the evenings. Going over to get it clear coated. So I'll drive it over there as it is. And then I use like an abrasive wheel. I'll show you.
Thing is, you've got to be careful now, Ollie, because they were gritting the roads earlier today as I was driving home.
Yeah, exactly. So leave it as painted as possible. And I use these ones. Whoop, I've fallen off the chair. use these little abrasive thingies. And that is what gets the finish on the metal.
Jesus, Ollie.
I told you I was sitting on a scrap, and I'm not kidding.
Hey, this is why he gets so many views on TikTok. You know,
yeah.
It's comical. it's entertaining, but also informational.
There you go. Learning something.
They're learning. I love it. I love it, man. That's cool.
Hopefully, I'll get it there before and stay out of all the puddles and everything, and I'll do all the buffing off and everything there, and race to get it done, and then we'll be painting till 1-2 in the morning, and then I'll leave it there overnight and pick it up next day, hopefully. And then that'll be it sort of done for the most part, until I can find some bucket seats that I like, and then I'll be working on that. But I've got to get on with the race car after it's clear coated, so, because season's coming up pretty quick.
Well, let's talk about that. You obviously mentioned you were racing at an early age minis. I have a couple of questions about that, but and then I want to get into the race car in the background too.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that is. so the minis that you raced when you were younger, was it just like a standard mini? Like, were they 998s? Like, what class was this?
So basically it's called, I don't know if you know about Autograss. You can YouTube it. There's a massive following of it. But basically, class one used to be they bought it in to be like a budget, but budget in like the 80s, 70s and 80s. And it was just, it's a 998 mini and completely standard. But when they say standard, it's like obviously completely stripped, no windscreen, just a cage and a lightweight Kirky seat like you see in Sean's mini. And then you were allowed to build the engine to completely standard. So you'd take the original workshop manual and all of the specs in there, it had to be that. And obviously when minis were built, the specs weren't quite that. I mean, you'd get some cams that had got lower lift than others and this, that and the other. So it was basically finding the best bits from every single mini that you can find and putting them all into one and try and make it as light as possible and as fast as possible. So things like you'd go through 10 cams when you're building an engine to try and find the one that's best you'd go then find to try and find the lightest set of pistons, the lightest flywheel, the best diff that would pinch just about right but wouldn't be too loose. Things like the rear radius arms, we'd swap them for the really early Mark I radius arms because they were lighter and not cast. Drive shafts, you'd go for the really skinny drive shafts rather than the thicker drive shafts because you want to be as light as possible. Like the donuts on the front to get it to corner well, we'd have the front as low as possible, the back as high as possible. So you'd go for someone that had high lows in the car for 20 odd years that were like squashed donuts and nearly dead. You'd have them in the front, and then you'd put a brand new set of donuts in the back so it'd sit raked, so it'd get the weight over the front. We'd have like gas struts on the back so it'd be nice and firm, and oil struts on the front. So just to make it obviously do off-road, but at as standard as possible.
That must have been so time-consuming, cool, being able to find all those parts and then try each one.
Yeah, no idea. Exactly. And the problem with grassing is the track changes every time. So you could go out and race on the first thing in the morning and it'd be loose and grippy and not too wet, and then it could rain before your next heat, and you've changed everything on the car to suit what you did the first time, and then you go out the second time, the track is completely different. You've had 100 races between you and your next race, and the track's now not loose, it's now dry and polished, and then you've got to change the setup completely. So change tyres, suspension, tyre pressures, weights, things like that, to try and make it handle to suit the conditions every time. So it's an awesome sport for learning about cars, learning about the engineering behind it and what makes things fast, because you've got to work with constantly changing conditions. It's good fun, but like you say, stupidly time consuming. It takes hours and hours. I mean, I'd literally finish a week. I'd be in there from Sunday night until the next Saturday trying to get things ready. I mean, going through brake drums and like wire wheeling brake drums and polishing them till they're to the nth degree so they were clean as possible when they ran. I mean, a grassing mini wheel, you could spin the back wheel and that run for half an hour. Just because it just, with no friction whatsoever, we used to take all the grease out of the rear wheel bearings and just put liquid WD-40 in them just so they were as fluid as possible.
Just to give you that extra little bit of an edge.
So,
wow.
Just to give you that extra little bit. And you can push. We used to joke about it all the time. Whenever we used to have weekend meetings and stay at the track, you could pick up your mate's Mini and move it in the pits. Because they weighed so little and they'd been ground down, sandblasted and set on fire to get the metal as thin as possible so it was as light as possible. So
safety,
you could move
first.
Minis around the pits.
I love that. That's sick. So what, yeah, you ended up changing then probably to different things, but what are you currently racing? Like, what is this
truck thing? So it's called a Class 6. And the spec for Class 6 in my sport is unlimited power front-wheel drive. That's it. It's technically an unlimited class because you can sort of do whatever you like within chassis building rules. So they give you like a maximum width and a maximum length, and that's about where it stops. They give safety things like the bulkhead has to be made of certain amount of metal, and you like induction holes here and there and everything like that, and fuel tanks and obviously stuff like that. But the actual class rules for the car is just do what you like, basically. As long as there's an engine in the front and it's front wheel drive, you can go. And so that is, it's a VW Caddy pickup with a Skoda Felicia front end.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you made this thing? Because that doesn't look like a VW. Yes. But okay, yeah. Now it's a Skoda front end. All right.
I made it all. And it's a complete space frame, so tube frame. Double wishbone set up the front, trailing arms at the back, single seat. And it's got a 2.4 Honda K24 with a supercharger from a Range Rover 4.2-litre V8.
Wow. On the front of it.
So it's pretty quick, but yeah, it's got like two speed transmission. So like first gear is first to 94 mile an hour, second gear is 0 to 104 mile an hour. So it's just two speeds, so you can't really do much other than that.
Wow.
But yeah, it's it keeps me busy during the summer, but it's taken me obviously a long time to build it because I built it myself, and a lot of the things, usually the things to go with Hondas is everyone buys a supercharger kit that just bolts straight on, and they're a lot of money and I couldn't afford it, so I made one and made it fit, and that took a lot of trial and error because a lot of the sport is sort of hush hush. They don't like giving you any advice, they don't like giving you any tips or anything like that,
right,
when it comes to what's best to do. So you have to muddle through and try things on your own, and it took a lot of trial and error, and a lot of people that you'd go and ask questions to, and they go, why are you doing that? Why don't you just buy a kit? And I say, well, I can't afford a kit. And they go, well, don't do it. I'm like, no. there's a way of doing it, just it costs less money and it's a lot harder, but I see my time as free. So if it takes me 3 weeks to get a belt to fit right, or to get a belt that won't throw off, or to get the supercharger to work right, then I'll spend the 3 weeks of evenings.
Absolutely. That what terrible advice. Just don't do it. Okay. Get out
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. And that is, I tell you, the amount of people that tell you just to give up. Why are you still doing it? Why are you still going for it? And to be fair, things like TikTok Live and social media keeps you going. Because every time you go in to find something, it's like banging your head against a wall, like finding things to do and finding ways around things that are expensive. You know what, everyone's another thing like Instagram, we were saying earlier, Instagram is so sort of prim and proper, and you've got to look like you're the perfect thing, and it's right. always got to be perfect. No one ever sees the struggle you go through to get there, they just see the nice end result. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you go on there and you're completely honest and say, I have no actual clue what I'm doing, but I'm just going to do it anyway. The amount of people that turn around and go, I do that too, but I wouldn't have to say it.
Yeah. But that's really funny, because I was just trying to get my Mini back on the road, and I got it fired up, and there was some sort of electrical thing that went on, and I had posted it on my stories because it was like, you know, me kind of progressively putting it together, and then, oh, just kidding, there's an electrical fire. Like, and so many people met, like, I felt like social media has gotten a little more positive over the years. Maybe that's just my experience, but yeah, so many people mess it. Not one person was like, you idiot. Like, everyone was like, oh, did you try this? Did you try this? Oh, da, 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 da. You know, like.
Yeah, people are willing to help when you actually, when you sort of reveal yourself or make yourself or honest.
Definitely.
Yes.
People actually turn up and go, well, he's not lying. He's actually, because I think it's refreshing as well, seeing someone that's completely honest about what they're struggling through, whether it be cars mm-hmm. or whatever. As soon as someone's honest about something, the amount of people that want to help.
Well, this
is
what
ridiculous.
Mike and I keep referring back to, is that the Mini community isn't full of gatekeeping. It is full of useful knowledge from people like yourself, Ollie, or Mike, or whoever messages and say, hey, look, instead of doing it this way, try doing it this way, or I wouldn't use that part, I'd use this part. And this is the great thing about the Mini community.
Yeah, and I think that's because there's such a range of how many's look and how many's are done, and it's been done for so long now that it doesn't really matter what your opinion is. And if your opinion is, if you don't like it, tough, go find another one to follow. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's thousands of them about, so find the ones you like and be what you like. You don't have to fit everything else and 100%. Be like everyone else. I did 100%. I tried to do it as sort of, well, I say clickbait. I made a video on TikTok just about the red bonnet on here, because everyone asked me, why is the bonnet red? And I say, because of that. And they go, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you asked me,
it sparks the interest.
And they're like, well. And I was like, exactly. They look at it and go, well, it's not finished. I'm like, well, no, it's not finished, but I like it.
That's exactly the same why I've done the dashboard in leopard print, in fluffy leopard print. It's exactly the same reason.
Exactly. Yeah. Why have you done that?
Exactly.
Why not? And people don't, and to be fair, the older community, when you say why not, they're like, they hate you for it. They're like, oh, I've got no answer for it. It makes them blood boring. Just being like the frustration in their eyes. Yeah, it's strange. And as well, like the amount of people that even the older guys commenting on my TikToks when I'm building that, and they're like, oh, the body kit's going to rub. You need different wheels. The wheels are sticking out. I'm like, I know. I do know.
Sorry, I hadn't realised.
Okay. Away from it. Yeah, it's I know it sounds horrible, like wanting to annoy people, but I like challenging people to just change the way you think. Don't get so hung up on how exactly. Everyone's got to be. It's you do what you want.
I love that. That's a good message, man. It's just that, you know, you're doing you, and it doesn't matter. Like, it's just it's just what you want. You just want to do it. Who cares? Yeah, I get it. Exactly. I love that.
Well, I was going to ask you, because your mini's sitting quite low. Is it your arches that make it look low, or is it on high lows, or is it on coilovers, or?
All of the above. It's on high lows, and the arches do make it look lower, but it is pretty low. I had to.
Yeah.
Dare I say on the podcast to worldwide that I cut the bump stops a little
who,
bit.
Who so. Hasn't done that?
Ooh. I don't have bump stops.
I don't have them. Yeah, actually, when I was, I don't know which episode you listened to, I went on a rally like up through Idaho and back around all the states and stuff like that. And
yeah,
at one point, because I had like extra tools and like a small like jack and everything. And at one point I was like humming down this road going pretty fast, and it was smooth, but it had dips in it, and every freaking dip was like, and I wore through the fiberglass arch. So I had to pull over and raise it just a little bit, cause I was going to blow my arch.
I kind of feel
like
at this
off.
Point, you guys are cheating on your low levels right now. Cause you guys are both, running 10s and I'm sitting on 12s and I'm probably about as low as you guys. Just say,
you're not.
Yes, wait.
It's not even possible. Not even possible.
Definitely.
Next time we sit, next time I see you, I'll measure how far your thumb is off the ground.
I'm on for that.
Also, though, yours is.
Ollie, I'll tell you what. I'll do your deal, mate. I'll do your deal right here. If mine is as low,
my thumb is 3 fingers off the ground.
If mine's as low or lower, no, if it isn't, sorry, as low or lower, I will buy you a mini life T-shirt. How's that? That is a deal. I will. Deal. It's on the pod. It's witnessed, signed and sealed.
Also, do you actually drive it, Sean? That low? Your tire is touching the.
Do you
fender.
Know how much I've cut out of my arches just to get it to sit that low?
I think I'm gonna put a poll on Instagram. Of everyone, do you believe, like, look at 1, 2, 3, the third post, most recent post you have, talking to the camera, your car's in the background, your tire is like a freaking millimeter off the fender. Yeah. You didn't drive it like that, did you?
I can firmly say he does drive it,
and
like
I don't
that.
Drive it easy. I drive that thing like
all
I
right,
stole
touche.
It.
Yeah, he does drive it exactly like that. I've seen it. It's noisy, it rubs a lot, it destroys tyres, but it does drive it like that.
Like I said to you the other day, Mike, I have got no mechanical sympathy.
But I have, but I just choose to ignore it.
Oh, jeez.
You don't need that sort That's of negativity it. In your life.
For the have sake of looking cool.
Do you have an anti-roll bar on yours?
I haven't, I don't know if Mike has.
Me? Who? No, I don't either. No, that's the next on the list. Though I was literally just looking at them the other day.
Yeah, they're stupidly expensive. They make a massive difference.
I keep forgetting though. My Cooper S came with a like vintage Speedwell roll bar.
Yeah,
and I was. Don't know if it's the same hookup because it's the wet suspension, so I don't know. I keep meaning to pull it off and see if it fits my other one while I'm brief.
To be fair, because I think they mount off the tie rods rather than anything else, so that doesn't change on wet to dry suspension. I don't think
it's a rear one, so I don't know if if it's the same or not.
That's rear. Well, they usually mount off of the bottom of the radius arm. So they have like a little extension off the bottom of the radius arm. I think you have to have to fit like extenders on the shock bolts.
Yeah, there's like a little end link type of thing. I'll look at that today. Maybe it's my today's project. Although I want to take it for a rip ski.
Do it.
Yeah.
So Ollie, I know that you said you skimmed some episodes, but I don't know if you got to the end. We do a little something something here called the Patty Probe.
Oh,
what is that?
Oh.
Well, you're about to find out. About to find out, Gas Man.
Okay.
Hey, if any of our new listeners are listening as well, and you don't know what the Patty Probe is, you are not going to want to miss this one.
Patty Probe is just a controversial, if you will, questions about the mini world that we throw out and see what everyone's answers are. Sparks a little, sparks the comment section, if you will.
Okay. If it's not, it's very
common. No. Well, I mean, you'll be able to answer them. It's more of a more.
On,
of
let's make Ollie sweat a bit here. Come on. Let's put the pressure on.
All right. In 1973, British Leyland. No, I'm just kidding.
Did you see the look in his face then?
My eyes glazed over.
Question number one.
And your time starts now.
Oh, man. I like starting with this one. What's your favorite mini variant?
Damn. It's got to be the mini pickup.
Good choice.
I love a mini pickup, especially the early ones. I love them. My dad passed his test in them in one, and we had one around with one of the only running and driving ones we had when I was a kid round here. And if you look up Autograss Class 7, you'll see what they do with mini.
Have you seen Liam Duran's one? Sorry to jump in on this, but have you seen his twin motorbike engine one?
That was. I know the guy he bought it from. I thought he was going to use it in grassing, but he's not going to. It's a shame. I think he's just going
to
use it for.
That's a shame.
Around,
I'd love to see that in competition.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's a few of those. That I've saw like on Instagram. I had never seen that before. I was like, whoa. I've been trying to get those people that race them on because I think it's super cool. I don't know if they're mini people or if they just race them.
No, I know a lot of them, so I can message
Let's get
people
them on.
And ask.
Put out the plug. Yeah. Put out the plug. I want to hear about this.
They run a serious amount of power and obviously.
Well, they're putting
no
wheelies
weight, so.
Off of them, aren't they? All three wheeling around corners, cocking a wheel.
Yeah, well they're about 600 or 700 brake, and they weigh about 540 kilos.
600 to 700 brake.
Yeah. So a lot of them, like Liam Duran's, that's got 2 1540, so 1340 buses bored out to 1540.
Whoa.
They've got two of those, and then they're driving one. So they run their original gearbox, and then they run through one drive box. And they're tuned at 1540, so they're like 300-ish brake easily-ish each.
I need to get one.
There's two of them. So yeah, they run. There's some of them that run like 6.2 liters LS and all sorts. So
that's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. They're pretty cool.
Interesting.
But yeah, so mini pickup.
Mini pickup. I like it. I like it. Let's talk about this one. You've clearly have done a lot of modifications to your mini. Is there a favorite mini modification that you've done, you want to do, or that you've seen, something like that?
I'd like to fit hydraulics, to be fair. I know that's a bit controversial and they're a bit pointless. But I think it's the only thing that, with a mini, that's been sort of perfected, because you can still drive a mini and it feel like a mini, but have it at whatever height you want. And you only see a few that have got hydraulics on. And the guy that makes them, he's a nice guy, and he's like one guy that makes the kit for all of them. And I would love to put hydraulics on this, but I've molested the subframes far too much.
Well, you did have wheels on bags, though, didn't you, for a while? You made a your own air suspension for it.
Yeah, I did air suspension on it, and that worked, and it was great, and it did the up and down, and it looked cool, but you can't rag it round a lane. And that's what that's for. It's for driving to the point where you feel like you're going to die. And you can't do that with air ride.
I mean, you could.
But either your stump's going to slow you down because it's sitting on the ground, or you're going to fall over because you're too high. It's just, it's not firm enough, and it doesn't feel like a mini. You drive it really hard and it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like a go-kart, and it spoiled it. And I think I've got a few friends with hydraulics on their minis, and he said it literally drives exactly the same as a normal mini, just at whatever height you like.
I didn't know that was that common.
Yeah, it is round here, because there's the guy that makes them. He's a guy called Raven Hydraulics, called Ray. And he literally makes the kits in a barn. And he's in the UK. So he's a very clever man, but you don't see that many of them because it's only a one-man band. So he makes the kits to order.
Oh.
But damn. Yeah, he's a good guy to make. I was messaging him recently because when I started wanting one, the kits were about £900. And I was like, right, I think I can save up, or I'm going to sell some cars and I could get to that. And I messaged him and he was like, yeah, the kits aren't £900 anymore. They're like £1,700. I'm like, that's still cheap for a full set of suspension.
That's very cheap still.
Yeah, when you've got race car to build, £1,700 is not really
ideal. Yeah. This is always a fan favorite. If you could have a drink, coffee, beer, tea with one mini celeb, who would it be?
Damn. Mini celeb. Ed China. Because he's got an orange mini. And he's got... Yeah, and he owns the one that's like a driving orange.
Wait, have you not? Have you never seen this, Mike? It's incredible.
No, what do I Google?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's just it's a shape of an orange, but it's a mini platform underneath, and he takes it to shows and everything. It's like a novelty thing.
Was he the original builder of that, or did he? Because I know
he wasn't. No, he bought it and then sort of made it safe because it was all like. It was all like bodged together, and the suspension and the steering would go one way or the other.
I've literally never seen this thing before.
Huge. I'm sure I remember seeing it around very early on in like the 90s when I was growing up as a kid. It was all in magazines, TVs, books, you name it.
Yeah.
I just Googled it. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, he did a thing on YouTube where he goes on his like YouTube channel where he redid all the suspension on it and everything like that, where it had previous bodges in the past.
That's crazy. I wonder if it was a guy called Andy Saunders who built it, because he done the TV and the sofa, didn't he, that you drive? I don't know if he done that orange mini. I'm sure one of our listeners will know. They're probably shouting at us right now.
Probably. Yeah.
I don't know who this guy is. Is he like a British like TV star?
Ed China. Yeah. He did. He was the original mechanic on Wheeler Dealers.
Gotcha.
They've gone over to the States now. To be fair.
I think so.
With Mike Brewer on that, and he's. I grew up and I learned a stupid amount from him, and I've got a very fond feelings for him, and he's just a normal person, but he explains everything he does so well, and nothing's too much trouble. And I'd love to have, he'd be the person that I'd love to just sit and have a coffee with for hours and end and just talk about cars and burning yourself and doing stupid things in the garage.
Yeah, I love it. Awesome answer. Anything else you want the people to know, Ollie?
No, just plug my TikTok.
Yeah, go check it out again. Ollie Soul, SOLE, and that's Ollie OLLIE 68. So Ollie Soul 68 on TikTok and _Soul_668 on the gram. go check him out. His mini is awesome. He has some racing content on there. He's got his crazy go-kart build that he just mentioned earlier as well. So
definitely go check him out.
Anything in the pipeline? Anything else coming up that you're going to build crazy, or you got the race car coming up?
Yeah, I've got race car coming up. I've got a lot of things to do with that. I've got to change the gearing on it and get that ready because I'm going taking that to a race car show in
is that race retro
February. No, going to MWA Motorsport with Attitude. It's like an nice. Open racing expo. So taking it there because just show it off, and it's a weekend around race cars, and so it's an excuse to go. And there's a few like grasses class sevens going, and they've got like a live action arena where they're sounds dragging perfect. It around, and yeah, sounds like a good weekend. So it's you get it a hell of a lot cheaper if you take a car. So I thought,
hey, why not, man?
Exactly.
Super cool. Super cool. All right. Everyone go follow Ollie. Check his stuff out. Follow Minilife.37 on the gram. Goldtooth Cray and Scrapyard.
Before we go, Mike, catch you guys. I know. I'm sorry, man. I've just got a lot to say. Everyone's I just want to open my heart now. Out to the...
Go ahead.
It's wintertime, guys and girls, and everyone who's listening. It's time to restore our cars, tinker on it, do what we need to do. And if you've been...
it's driving season in Southern California.
Right? It's
it's 60 and sunny, and you guys are holding me up right now.
I'm ready to make you suffer, man.
60, look at it. Listen, I am the host of this. I can click out anytime I want.
But no, in all seriousness, if you guys are looking at revamping your interiors and your cars, as you know, we've teamed up with Mountainy, Mike and myself on Mini Life. Mountainy Classic,
guys.
Have been very, very kind to us and to all of you guys, and have offered a 10% discount code on steering wheels and accessories that they offer. So if you are interested, head on over to mountainyclassic.co.uk and get yourself 10% off by using the code MINILIFE10 at the checkout.
MINILIFE10. It's not that I forgot, but I get jibber jabbering and so pumped about MINILIFE. I forgot that I was so pumped.
You just want to go out and drive, don't you?
Or Mountainy. Well, I wanted to go touch my Mountainy steering wheel in my car.
Hey,
that's
you
what
can get
I
arrested
do.
For that in some states, Mike, I'm sure.
I want to go touch my wooden steering wheel. Anyways, go check out Mountainy Classic as well. Mm. Follow them on Instagram, too. Mountainy Classic.
I believe it is Mountainy Classic.
I believe. So go check them out. Follow all the people, and we will catch you guys.
See you later.
On the next one.